different look than the hotel room that we used. Mm-hmm. It's such a different look, but it's great to be here. Mm-hmm. This month we've been speaking about Jesus as our lover. And today I want to ask, can love be measured? Can we really measure love? When Avery, my youngest daughter, was a little girl, I would ask her, how much does Daddy love you? And she would say, this much. When she got a little older, I'd tell her, I love you. And she'd say, I love you two. And I'd say, I love you three. And then she'd say, I love you four. And I'd say, I love you more. But you can't really measure it. Songs abound, love from here to eternity and back again. But we can't really measure love. To possibly measure love, I think we need to look at actions a lot more than listening for words. Mm-hmm. Words are cheap and easy, but actions, they really speak louder. Mm-hmm. I know that Zuma loves me. She cooks dinner for me. She makes sure I eat vegetables. She is just really good to me. Zuma knows I love her. She knows because I take out the trash without being told to do it. I vacuum the stairs when she's not feeling well. That's one chore I usually leave to her. All the others I'll do anytime, but I just don't like vacuuming the stairs. But I do it when she's not feeling well. But this is about Jesus and how much he loves us. And you know, I think we just sung a song about showing the way. And Jesus, like my little girl, he says, I love you this much. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what he did. You know, the Bible is full of examples of Jesus loving us. The Gospels, all the letters, even the Old Testament, if you read well and pay attention, you see the love of Christ in it. I want to look at just one book here today that as an example of Jesus' love. It's the book of Ephesians. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look especially at the first couple of chapters, starting in chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us and adopted us as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his will, his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us and the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, and in accordance with the riches of God's grace, mm-hmm. that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment. We bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Drop down in verse 11, it says, and in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and that you also were included with Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Mm-hmm. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You know, it's unending, the description of Christ's love for us. Most of this book, Paul spends speaking to us about the love that Jesus, that God has for us in through Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's an immeasurable thing. Going down to chapter 2, it says, But because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, down in verse 13, who were once far away are brought near through the blood of Christ. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Mm-hmm. Could you go to chapter 1, to the first slide, please? You see, I tried to highlight that all the different phrases that we can that Paul used to describe the love of Christ. He blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons. His glorious grace he's freely given to us. In him we have redemption. God's grace was lavished on us. He didn't just give us grace, he lavished it on us. In him, we were chosen. Where it wasn't left up to chance. It wasn't our parents, it's all by chance that who our parents are. We don't get to pick them, they don't get to pick us. But God went outside of himself and chose us to be with him. You were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. He's given us the Spirit that guides us and protects us and leads us in all the ways of righteousness. And this Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing the inheritance we have waiting for us in heaven. In chapter 2, because of his great love for us, we were made alive in Christ, even though we were dead in our sins. Grace, it is grace that has saved us. God has raised us up in Christ. For it is grace you've been saved through faith. Richard? It is a gift of God. We are his workmanship. He did what he did on purpose with us. We were brought, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away from him have been brought near. Through him, we have access to the Father. And finally, as fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, God has just expressed his love for us over and over again. And my question is, with such a great love, what ought our response be? What ought our response be? I think that Jesus, because of his love for us, He deserves our best, our best efforts. He deserves so much more than I could describe in one standing here. We could be here all day long describing and challenging ourselves as to what Christ deserves.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to just speak about our efforts. Jesus deserves our very best efforts. In Ephesians 1, in chapter 17, verse 17. In verse 17, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you to, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the heavenly realms. What this is telling us is that we, Jesus deserves our best efforts getting to know him personally, intimately. It's not enough to know facts about Jesus. It's not enough to know about him and to know his word, although everything we do know and every fact that we can come up with that is the truth of Jesus as found in the word, they're all a blessing to us. They're all great, but it's not enough. Jesus really deserves us to know him intimately in prayer and continual Bible study. I know I open the word every day. I spend maybe an hour in the word most every day, and it's still not enough.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be prayerful. We need to be obedient. We get to know him by obeying his word.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of what he speaks comes clear when we obey it. If we don't obey it, it's going to go over our head. If we don't try to obey it, then we'll be lost. We will never get to know Jesus intimately the way that he calls us. Secondly, Jesus deserves our best efforts to be unified as the body of Christ. For all Christians everywhere, anybody who calls on the name of the Lord, to be unified. It says in chapter 2, verse 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one. Talking about Gentiles and Jews, that the two have become one in Christ Jesus. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law and its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both to him through God, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to you who were near. For through him, we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. He deserves our best efforts at unity. I want to just look at chapter 4 here. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, be gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And honestly, almost all of chapter 4 is urging us to live in that peace, that unity, where we will we love one another, where we are the body of Christ, the family of Christ. We can let some of the worst things divide us. You know, whether it's politics or race or economic status. None of these things have any place in Christ's church. They may have some importance to you, but if they take precedence, if any of those kind of things take precedence over what your relational priorities are, then maybe you need to even check to know if you are a Christian. If we can't be united above those other things, those things that can't do anything to save another soul, nothing that can draw people near Christ or separate them from Christ, those things, while they can matter in our temporary world, they are of little value when it comes to eternity. And so Jesus really deserves our best efforts in unity and being one in the Spirit. And thirdly, finally, Jesus deserves our best effort making the gospel known. Let's look into chapter 6. We'll start in 19. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Jesus, he truly deserves that we should do our very best to make known the gospel of his love. His love is not something that we should store up for ourselves. It's something we should give away freely. Jesus tells us that the way is narrow and the gate is small that leads to heaven, and very few find it. But as Christians, it's our goal, our responsibility to make the small way known, to make the small gate known, so that people have a chance to enter through it. I'm looking in 2 Colossians. 2 Colossians chapter 5. Yeah, 2 Corinthians. It didn't sound right. I couldn't even make it come out right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're looking at 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You see, Paul isn't the only one who was an ambassador for Christ. Here in 2 Corinthians, he tells us that we all who have put our faith in Jesus, we are all to be ambassadors for Christ. Mm-hmm. We need to open our mouths. We can't continue on just keeping it to ourselves. It's not right. And it's just of vital importance. You know, next month we have the Women's Day coming up, and last year we had maybe, 40 visitors there. It was an amazing time. And this year our prayer is that it'll be even better, and that we'll do an even better job following up, because those women all need to know Jesus, and they all have men connected to them who need to know Jesus. And brothers, we need to do what we can to help the sisters in follow up. You know, whether we're inviting people into our homes or just going out for a cup of coffee, it's up to us as well as the sisters to follow up. That we can't keep this to ourselves. Jesus, because he has done so much, his actions have shown over and over again his love for us. And he deserves it that we take these three actions, these efforts to love him in return. You know, and summing it up, Jesus loved us so much that he deserves our best efforts, getting to know him intimately, personally, and not just on the surface. And he deserves our very best efforts in being unified. You know, it's a great thing that the Skyway Church has allowed us to come and use their building, because they said, why not? You're worshiping Jesus too, and there's no reason we shouldn't. But we need to all be unified in Christ. And then we also need, he deserves our very best in making the gospel known. It is a lot of effort. It's not easy. There's a lot of disappointment when people make, you study the Bible with people, and they make choices that turn them away from Christ, but we still have to make the effort. Yeah. Our disappointments won't matter at all when Jesus comes back, when we hear that trumpet call that Paul writes about in 2 Thessalonians. When this comes to be, our efforts will be judged, and let us give Jesus everything he deserves.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right, guys, we're going to close up the prayer and everything. Great message, Don, about Jesus deserves our best. I pray that as we go through this week, that's on our mind, heart, and soul, that we're going to give God our best every day. Mm-hmm. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for service today. We thank you for the singing, God. And Father, we thank you for the communion message and, God, the contribution message, God, just reminding us, Father, how we just need to be grateful. Even when we don't have much, but that you are always providing. God, we thank you for Don's lesson about that. You know, you just deserve our best. You just deserve our best. Sometimes we can feel like we've given you everything that we have to give, but you know that there's more of us that we can give, Lord. We ask that you nudge us, Father, when we kind of get a little relaxed or feel a little lazy or feel a little comfortable. Just nudge us, Father. Remind us that there is always more work to do, Father, that the best in us is yet to be seen, Lord. Mm-hmm. Father, help us to do it for your glory. Help us to do it so that other souls may be able to know you. And Father, that great relationships may be developed and forged, God. Mm-hmm. God, we thank you so much for the relationship we've built with Skyway. We ask that you continue to bless this union, Father, and that we can continue to be a representative of what unity should look like, God. With two different groups worshiping God from the same group, Lord. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you so much for this service this morning. It is your Son's name that we thank you, and we ask all things of you. Amen.
Amen.
That's what's missing fellowship.